Call to order this meeting of the Conference Committee on Senate File 80, and welcome Senator Gerlach and Senator Sieben for the Senate. Senator Representative Simon, you want to introduce your members by name?
Sure. We've got Representative Brian Winkler and Representative Tim Sanders.
And your staff?
I'm Joel Marble.
Right. With the House Republican staff,
yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Marble.
And you're welcome to sit at the table. I think what I'm going to do is ask you to look at the side-by-side and then just indicate what a proposal will be as we go along. And if there are questions, then we could take them. Is that agreeable?
Yes.
Representative Simon? Okay. Mm-hmm. And since it is a Senate file, where the language was the same, we're going to take the Senate language. If it's similar and the House language, as identified by counsel, is superior, we'll take the House language, or that we propose that. So, beginning with Section 1, the Senate language there and in Section 2, and this was an amendment offered by, on page R1 now, offered by Senator Marty in the Senate. And then on Section 2 is the reverse of expenditure and contribution with regard to personal use of automobiles. Yes?
Could you speak up a tad? The microphone
does not
hear any amplification.
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
So Sections 1 and 2 were the John Marty amendment with regard to disregarding the use of a volunteer's automobile as either an in-kind contribution or an in-kind expenditure. Section 3 is identical in both bills with regard to expenditures by political parties, and these are items that, and I wonder, Mr. Goldsmith, would you mind joining us at the table down there in case we have questions? Some of these items are directly from the recommendations from the Campaign Finance Board staff, as are many of the provisions in this bill. Still on R2, Section 2 is continued on R3 and is a House amendment that the Senate would agree to, which was to identify as a non-campaign disbursement cost paid to a third party for processing contributions made by a credit card at 312 and 313. So we would propose the House language there.
And, Madam Chair, if I could.
Yes.
On the previous page on R2, it also has the utensils and supplies.
Yes.
For fundraisers.
And that was in both bills.
Right.
Yes. And then on Section 3, also a House amendment that the Senate would agree to, has to do with lobbyist registration with regard to websites and the ability of the board to publish the information about lobbyists and their email addresses and so on, most of whom provide that information anyway. Is that correct, Mr. Goldsmith?
That's correct, Madam Chair. More than 90%.
More than 90% do it already. And then at the bottom of R4, Section 5 of the Senate language, which is, I believe, identical to the House with regard to late filings for lobbyists. And then in
excuse me, Madam Chair?
Yes?
This was one section I made a note of because I couldn't remember from last year exactly. Mm-hmm. The late filing for lobbyists, this would be that Section 5. I just made a note here when I was reviewing this morning. What is this for? I don't remember exactly what was the background on the...
Mr. Goldsmith, I believe that was a Campaign Finance Board suggestion.
That's correct, Madam Chair. Senator Gerlach, there are five places where the late filing language is changed, and in each place it eliminates the requirement to send a certified letter before the $5 per day late filing fee starts. Instead, that late filing fee will start 10 days after the report was due without the certified letter. And the maximum late filing fee under that provision is $100. After that, a certified letter will still be sent before an additional fee may be imposed.
So, Madam Chair, then, so conceptually
Senator
what we're doing is we're tightening it up a little bit by instead of waiting for this letter to be sent.
Yes.
We're
yes.
saying it was due here, the fine start yeah. here, and not waiting for that sort of
that's
helpful
correct.
Nudge.
And that was in both bills.
That's good. Okay.
Okay, and then Section 5 of the House language, the Senate would agree to that, and that is including as official under the gift ban judges.
Madam Chair.
Representative Simon.
If I could, I thought at one point maybe she's still here. Is she behind the post? I just can't see her. I don't know, but Ms. Haas was here earlier. I don't know if she cares to comment about this section at all on behalf of her client. Okay.
Well, we'll go on and come back.
Okay.
All right. Then Section 6 on the Senate side, I think those are the that's the language is the same, and this was a recommendation from last year from Representative Kahn from the bill from the previous year. And that would take us down to on R6, 513 through 16. And then going back over to the House side, the Senate would agree with Section 7, and I believe the difference there is in the House language, it's business days, defined as business days, in the House and the Senate we just said days. So we are counsel advised as well as Mr. Goldsmith that business days is preferable. And the same thing with Section 8. And then in Section 9, we would take the House language, which not only has the email in it, but the website address, which is similar to the requirement for the lobbyists, if that's available. And down through 627. And then Section 10, beginning at 628 on the House side. And let's see, the difference there.
Business days.
What was the difference there that we took the House language?
7 points. Business days again.
Business days.
It's business days again. Okay. And then back to the Senate language in Section 11, and that has to do with regard to those email and website address requirements that the board, for good cause, can issue a waiver for that requirement. And then Section 12, the Senate language, and Section and then the effective date, the Senate language. And then on the top of R8, Section 13. And then, although this will not be reflected, in some language at this point, but we would take Section 14 as is, including 8. Lines 820 and 821, the House has informed me, even though I thought maybe we could have that they have to consult, that was a very strong point from the Speaker in working out this section with the Campaign Finance Board. And I believe, Mr. Broder, if you tell me, is the rest of Section 14 the same?
Madam Chair, the rest of it is identical.
Okay, well then, the Senate's proposal will be to strike Section 14 of the Senate and to adopt Section 14 of the House. And then at the bottom of R8, Section 15 of the House language, and it's a business days issue again. And then Section 16 of the Senate, beginning at 831 through 917. This was an amendment supported and maybe not with the same energy as There is Section 14 by the Speaker, but this is something that the Majority Leader has asked us to consider, and so we, the Senate, supports that. And then in Section 17, we would go with the Senate language in Senate in Section 17 with the exception of on R10 to strike all new language in 919, 920, 921, and 922. The effect of this would be to raise the state auditor, the Secretary of State, into the same category for contribution limits as the Attorney General, and to put the candidates for judicial office at $2,000 in an election year, which is identical to what was adopted in December of 2008 by the Supreme Court in the judicial canon.
And Madam then, Chair, mm-hmm. if I could, and just for the record, and this would leave untouched the current limitations for members of the legislature.
Yes, that would be our proposal. And then we prefer the effective date of the House language, which took into consideration the fact that some candidates have already been receiving yes. contributions, particularly the judicial candidates, that even though the judicial canons say they can't have more than 2,000, maybe they did. And if they did, that would not be a violation of this section. However, if they had raised, let's say they had already raised $1,500 before this law went into effect, they would be limited to just an additional $500 to make it $2,000 in a campaign year.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just a question on that. We don't need to add language for the Secretary of State and State Auditor since we're increasing their contribution?
But we're increasing theirs.
Oh.
So here to date, if somebody had given them whatever it was, $500, they'd be done. That would allow them then to take an additional $500 throughout the campaign year. I think the effective language in 929.10.2 covers everything. Is that correct? Okay.
Mr. Gearing did point out that the House wrote the effective date when really the only changes being made were to judicial office. So it may need a little adjustment. I thought he'd be here to explain that. I think what would suffice is that if you said on 9.31 a judicial candidate who has accepted a contribution, but I'd like to double check that with him before.
Okay, with respect to that, then our proposal would be to that effective date to let the staff direct the staff to put in the most appropriate language. And so then, Section 18, we have no motion with regard to that on the Senate side. Then we move to Section 19 and to 19, and that is the same, so it would be the Senate language.
With Section 18, you're just leaving.
Out.
You're accepting
no
the House.
Motion with
you're accepting the House position of
yes, we have no motion with regard to Senate. To Senate Section 18.
Madam Chair, that's been enacted.
Huh? That's right. That's why.
I forgot.
And then, what was that in, Mr. Bodden?
I believe that was in the primary bill.
The early primary bill.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, in Section 20, Mr. Bodden has informed me what we need. We take the Senate language, but we need some amended language that would reflect laws 2010 with regard to the early primary bill, correct, Mr. Bonner? We do need to make some changes.
The stricken language and the new language will look the same, but what you're amending will look slightly different since there have been changes made to it since these bills were passed.
Okay. And then we would take Section 21. which is the same as the House language. And then Section 22 is the same. So we take the Senate language. And then with regard to the House, Section 22, we would take the House language with the addition of the report being made to the chairs of those committees and also the ranking minority members, and that with jurisdiction over elections policy and finance. So it would not only come to, in the Senate, not only come to the state government finance budget division, but would also come to the state and local government policy committee, or at this instance at least. And then Section 24, and you'll note that now we're in different areas of the law. This is Section 211A, not 10A, but it has to do with local governments, and these were recommendations also that came from the Campaign Finance Board. And then we have Section 28, which is the repealer, same in both bills. And then we would go with Section 24, the House's effective date. And that would be,
Madam Chair,
that would be, now is the time to call on Mr. Bodern.
With regard to the effective date,
okay.
I think the specific effective dates that are supplied in the bill would suffice, and the more general, the August effective date that applies to all bills that are passed without specifying an effective date would work. You may want to check that with Mr. Goldsmith. But
it works that, even with all the
I think
new
that's
things?
Preferable. Well, where a more immediate effective date is necessary, those have been supplied within the bill.
Okay.
And basically there's a preference for avoiding immediate effective dates where we can do that so that people have a chance to understand the law before it takes effect.
Mr. Goldsmith, that's the Senate's proposal then, so it would not be Section 24 of the House. It would you'd be silent with regard to the final effective date. So, Mr. Goldsmith, would you care to comment on the proposal we have before you?
As I understand the proposal, Madam Chair and members, the board thanks the committee and both bodies for considering this bill, which is primarily a board recommendations bill. We thank the members of both bodies for allowing the bill to proceed in essentially the form that the board suggested 2 years ago. We're happy to have reached this point. I think the conference committee report, as moved by the Senate, would meet all of the board's needs. I don't see any administrative challenges or problems. I know that staff is going to work on the effective date with respect to the contribution limits, and I think one thing that staff and this body might want to make sure is that those limits for those lower constitutional offices probably should go into effect sooner than the August 1st date, because if they don't, they aren't going to be of much value to them in this election cycle.
Mr. Black, do you have a comment with regard to the effective dates of Section 24?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Mr. Black with the Secretary of State's office. The comment is simply on page R13, line 12.30, that has the effective date of the additional information on the report under 211A.02, which will include the cash on hand, effective date of June 1st, 2010. June 1st, 2010 is going to be a little bit of a problem because due to the earlier filing period, these forms are actually part of the campaign manual. They've been printed and they've been distributed, and even with this date,
2012 resolve the crunch issue for the Secretary of State's office?
It would.
For which piece?
Then we're on R13. It's regarding the 211A.
This is 12.30.
Yeah, 12.30. It's the 211A sections in the bill would have to do with local government. So, Mr. Goldsmith? Okay. I think that's reasonable. So that would be part of the motion.
Madam Chair, just
Mr.
one
Bodern?
Clarification.
Yeah.
With regard to the contribution limits on R10, the language that you see there on the House side, 9.29 to 10.2 for the effective date. Again, that's very close to what I think Mr. Gehring had proposed. I will point out that the entire section is made effective the day following final enactment, so that would also include the changes made to the Secretary of State and the State Auditor contribution limits.
So we're accommodating already Mr. Goldsmith's recommendation, subject to some wording corrections in here.
To clarify that additional contributions made to judicial candidates are subject to the restrictions in the effective date.
And Mr. Madam Chair, Mr. Bodern, in line 9.31 on R10, the House side, it says this section is effective the day after following a final enactment and applies to contributions received by a candidate for judicial office on or after that date. So I think we have to. So that would indicate that only the judicial. It's vague. So I guess my suggestion would simply be that you clean it up.
Madam Chair and Representative Wakefield, I think that's right, and that may have been reflected in the changes that Mr. Gehring sent me just a little while ago. I think one way you could do it would just be to say the entire section is effective the day following final enactment and applies to contributions received by a candidate on or after that date, and then to say a judicial candidate who has accepted a contribution, so forth.
The reason why it didn't work this way is because this would only apply to the judicial. We only had the judicial limits on there.
And we put in the others.
Right, so correct that.
Are there questions or comments from members? Mr. Goldsmith?
Madam Chair, when I was reviewing this one final time this morning, I found one additional technical matter which the board could resolve, but in the interest of having a bill that's really clean, if you look to line 6.7 on page R6 on the House language, the line says within 10 business days after the notice was sent, and we have in this very language eliminated that notice. To be consistent with the rest of that subdivision and all the others, it should say within 10 business days after the statement was due. So a motion to amend to strike notice was sent and to substitute statement was due would clean up that one technical.
I think we're trying
problem.
To get to one motion, but okay. Does anyone have any?
Incorporate that, right?
Yeah, I'm incorporating that.
That's all I have.
This conference committee to change that, to strike that after the notice was sent and insert when after the statement was due. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Any other comments or things that members saw that represent difficulty or suggestion? I think what we've done essentially is to take both bills and then the things that we added to each bill, and because our work in the Senate was done a year ago, there was some additional work that has happened since then. Representative Simon?
Madam Chair, I'm still wondering whether anyone's been able to locate Ms. Haas. I know that she was in here earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether she wanted to testify or not, but I think we ought to give her the opportunity if she's lingering outside of the door, if someone could see.
She's not there?
She's not there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm perfectly happy to. Somebody wants to call her or something.
You think she's?
Who's that?
Huh?
Who's that?
If she, I don't want to force her to testify, but I think on the record she certainly was welcome to testify
and was in the room.
And was in the room earlier. So is there anything further? Then Representative Simon moves to adopt the quote Senate proposal.
I do.
Stick that knife in there.
Well, it's a courtesy to let the other side make the motion. Is there further discussion?
If she asked Sanders to do it, that would be sticking the knife.
You're supposed to be on my side. So we have that motion with all of those changes, and we will be alert to them, or I encourage members to take their side by side and be alert to them in the conference committee report. Where we have made some accommodation back and forth, et cetera. And it would be my hope that it might be possible to see this conference be court sometime tomorrow.
Chair, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. And so we will get it signed. And I don't know you very well, but I can tell you that your colleagues and Senator Gerlach and Senator Sieben are just experts in election law and campaign finance law, and we all appreciate your being with us
Thank you.
Here today. And so we have the Simon motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. And so then we, I think, have to have just a separate motion to adopt the conference committee report now. Representative Simon moves we adopt this conference committee report, this language. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and there being no further business before this conference committee, we stand adjourned.
Thank you, Madam Chair.